God is good. And all the time. Yes, I like God. I like God. He's a very, very nice person. I like him. I treat him badly too often and he always forgives me. But I like God. And I look forward one day to seeing Jesus for myself. 2,000 years ago, men and women saw him. I want to see Jesus, and according to Revelation 22, verse 4, we shall see God. I want to see God. I really do. Just look at God on my knees and just look at God and thank him for all his blessings in my life, none of which I ever deserved. Our subject for this evening, crime and punishment. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your undying love. We thank you, dear God, for having sent your Son, Jesus Christ, someone equal with yourself, to pay the penalty for our sins, that whoever accepts you may have a place in your kingdom when you come. As I stand in your presence, dear God, if I have offended you, forgive me, dear God. Jesus died to make it possible for you to forgive and still be a just God. Father, grant me your Spirit, that he may direct my thinking and my speaking. Let my conscious desire be, throughout this message, your glory and the blessing of your people. Bless everyone who came. A special blessing on all our guests, dear God. We are honored by their presence. Remember your beloved people watching online, wherever they are, in whatever country. Bless them, Father. And as I talk about countries, Father, let the leaders of the countries remember that righteousness exalteth a nation. In a special way, bless the government of this country, dear God. Let their decisions allow the gospel to go forward. Father, if anyone listening to me has COVID-19, heal those persons, I pray, please. In Jesus' name, let God's people say, amen and amen. Go with me to Genesis chapter 2. What book did I say? Who wrote Genesis? Very good, Moses. You're good Bible students. God bless you for that. Genesis chapter 2, we read 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Nothing is worse than death, the penalty for sin. God tells Adam and Eve, if you simply eat of that fruit, you'll die. This is our introduction to the penalty for sin. It is death. In Ezekiel 18, verse 4, verse 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. In Romans 6, 23, the wages of sin is death. Romans 5, verse 12, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. God told Adam, the wages of sin is death. If you eat, you will die. Our subject, crime and punishment. If you eat a fruit that I said, don't eat, that's a crime. Finish my words. And the punishment is death. Now, wait a minute. Are there not degrees of criminal behavior? Yes. If you were to steal a banana from your local supermarket, would you get the death penalty in Greenville? No. You may get a slap, not even on the wrist, on one finger. And the judge puts you on probation for half an hour. Is this a banana? If you steal a car, you may vacation at the expense of the government. Are you with me? It's a little more severe. You rob a bank, you'll be gone for a long time. Eat a fruit, and God said, the punishment, death. Now, that tells us one of two things. either that God is sadistic and cruel, or what's the other possibility? Sin, come on, is a terrible thing. Regardless of its degree or size, let me say it again, sin is so horrible at any size, the only appropriate response God, who never does wrong, can have is death. The crime is sin. The death, the punishment is death. God has one penalty for sin, one. No matter what the sin is, death, death. Let me say again, it does not express the sadistic nature of God. The Bible says God is love. It shows us early in the Bible that sin is a terrible thing regardless of its size. And if that's the case, what's the most intelligent thing we can do about sin? Get rid of it. Avoid it. Get rid of it. Because it elicits one response from God. Death. If you think the death of Adam was bad, look at Calvary. Sin resulted in the death of someone equal with the Father. And so when Jesus appeared to John in Revelation 1, verse 17, he said, I am he that lived, that was dead, liveth and was dead. Revelation 1, 18. Jesus said, I was dead. Not because of sins he committed, but in order to pay the penalty for sins I committed. Death. And the justice of God cannot get around. The penalty for sin is death. Now, let's leave the Garden of Eden as we continue crime and punishment. Let us go to Luke 17. Brother Luke, we went to his book this morning. What was his profession? The medical doctor, yes. The beloved physician, that's I believe how he's referred to in the Bible. Luke 17, we'll read from verse 26. The sound of pages turning in a church is beautiful music. It really is. You don't hear it on this. But you hear it when you turn the pages. Lovely sound. All right. Do you have Luke 17, verse 26? Let me pray. Father, as I continue, restrain me, direct me, guide me, use me, dear God. I offer no opposition to you or resistance. In Jesus' name, amen. And as it was in the days of Noe, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They did eat. They drank. They married wives. They were given in marriage. Let's look at the four things again. What are they? They did eat. Answer me. Is eating of itself a sin? Who invented eating? God. God created man to eat. In the new world, we shall eat. There is nothing wrong with eating. Jesus said, that's what they were doing when the flood came and destroyed them all. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying. Who performed the very first marriage ceremony? God. Who gave away the first bride? God. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Give me another word for destroyed them all. Death. Then if there's death, what were they doing? Sin. Whether you notice it or not, if there is death, it means there was sin. Eating. Drinking. Marrying off their daughters. Giving away their daughters. Destroyed. Sin, then, is a very subtle thing. It's not always obvious. Let's continue in Luke 17. We go to verse 28. If you have my version, read with me. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot. Come on. They did eat. They drank. They bought. They sold. They planted. They builded. Stop. Let's make up a list combining the two. In the days of Noah, they did eat. They drank. They married wives. They were given in marriage. Let's combine the list. They married wives, were given in marriage, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Which one of those sins is inherent? Which one of those things is a sin? Not one is inherently a sin. But something made them sin. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed before Christ comes back. Jesus says that's the way it will be. Crime and punishment. Let's take an even more drastic look. Go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4, if I ever go too quickly, just say slow down, preacher, and I will be grateful to you. You have Matthew chapter 4. We'll read from verse 1. Matthew was a tax collector, most likely a very dishonest man, a thief. The Jews hated tax collectors because they collected for the Romans, but collected extra and kept for themselves, and they despised the tax collectors. Matthew was one, but he wrote the very first gospel of the Bible, because when you meet Christ, whether you're a thief or whatever you may be, Christ will change your life. What did I say? He will change your life. God is a specialist at changing people's lives. Matthew 4, reading from verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. A temptation is an invitation to do what? Sin. What was Satan asking Christ to do? Sin. But that's not the way he packaged it. Here's how you can save your life. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If Christ had taken simple stones in the desert, belonging to no one, and had turned them into bread to save his life, he would have sinned. Because any cooperation with Satan is sin. Again, the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thou thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again. Didn't you hear me the first time? Let me tell you again. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Don't put yourself in a risky situation and then tell God, get me out. That's sin. Then the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Look at the three temptations. One, turn stones into bread. How criminal is that act in our estimation? In God's estimation, if Christ had obeyed Satan, he would have sinned, and the plan of salvation would have collapsed because a man who was also God tried to turn stones into bread to save his life. Temptation two, do a little showing off. Temptation three, make me your God instead of God. Make your career your God instead of God. Make your children your God instead of God. Make that person to whom you're romantically connected your God instead of God. That's all. That's the crime. What's the punishment? Death. Sin does not have to be massive. For the death penalty to be pronounced. It does not show us how horrible God is. It shows us that sin, and I cannot say this often enough, is a terrible thing. And the greatest favor you can do yourself is to get sin out of your life and get sin out of mine. Because sin has no benefits. But let's take an even more drastic look at sin, crime, and punishment. Go to chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. This one will really blow your minds. Matthew 7. We'll read from verse 21. It's 7:31. We have half an hour at maximum. And I really mean it when I say I'll let you out early. No later than 8. Do you have Matthew 7? Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many shall say to me at that day, Lord, Lord, have we not what? Prophesied in thy name. Now, is that a good thing, prophesying? Yes, it simply means, I am prophesying now. It doesn't always mean tell the future. I'm speaking for God. This is an act of prophesying. When you teach the Sabbath school lesson, you're prophesying. You are speaking for God. You're speaking the words of God. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have done what? Now, it looks like if I'm casting out devils, I'm cooperating with God. That's not necessarily the truth. Remember the seven men in Acts 17:19 who tried to cast out devils in the name of Jesus? Remember that funny story? They were professional exorcists. You see, the devil can pretend to come out, and you think he's gone. We've cast out devils in thy name. Finish that verse. And in thy name done what? Many wonderful in the name of Jesus. Sometimes I listen to preachers on television as they try to command the Holy Spirit. And command Jesus. In the name of Jesus, this thing. In the name of Jesus. As if in the name of Jesus is equivalent to abracadabra. With no relationship with Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And so Jesus himself says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. Have we not prophesied in thy name? The act is good. The motive was clearly wrong. Let me simplify that. Sin extends not only to what we do, but to the motive behind what we do. Why did you do it? And so I come along, there's a church building fund, and I contribute $1 million because my name will be on a plaque on the wall somewhere. Now the $1 million builds the church. But it cuts no ice with God. The very same way, the thousands of dollars of offering in Mark chapter 12, here comes the little widow, and she gives 2 mites, and the God of heaven and earth got excited over 2 mites because of the source of the 2 mites. Motive is where sin begins. Don't look so depressed. I have some good news for you. I've got some good news. Now, when you put together all that I have said, it really sounds depressing. Then what can I do? Because we often sin, how? Unconsciously. We sin. Here's the good news. When we look at sin and its severity, regardless of size, we have to conclude. And the Bible says, all have what? Sin. And come on, and come short, come on, of the glory of God, the glory is his character. All have sinned and come short of sinlessness. So what can I do? What can I do? Give me one word. 5 letters in that word. Jesus. Jesus. Now let me pray again. Father, as I continue, please, God, help me to say it clearly. For your glory first. and that your blessed people may be enlightened. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Remember this morning, only this and nothing more. Jesus. Now, why Jesus? Go to John 8. John 8. We just learned my very motive makes my action sin. The very motive. Even before the action is done, the motive is a sin. Then what can I do? John 8. We read 44 and 45. Remember how highly I recommended John? Please take some time. Read John. You'll be blessed beyond your imagination. John 8, reading from verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father he will do. Ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now read verse 45 for me. And because I tell you what? The truth, come on. You believe me not. Next verse, 46. Which of you convinceth me, if you have the King James, of sin? In other words, which of you can point to any sin in my life? What was Jesus saying about himself? I am sinless. Because I never chose to sin. Let me say it again. Christ was sinless because he never chose to sin. In John 14, verse 30, the prince of this world cometh and hath, 31, nothing in me. Verse 30 of John 14. Christ was sinless. Now, what does that mean? And how is that good news for me? Let's go back to Genesis 2. Not physically, just in your mind. When God made everything, how did he describe everything? Verse 31, Genesis 1, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Did that include Adam and Eve? Yes. Nothing sinful can be described as very good. Adam and Eve, everything God made was very good. Now, how many sins did Adam commit that we know of? One. Was he allowed to stay in the garden? He was evicted. For how many sins? One. Does the Bible say that? Yes. Why do we have floods and landslides and tsunamis and hurricanes and tornadoes? Why? Because of one sin. Why do men beat their wives and women poison their husbands? One sin. Why did we fight the Taliban for 20 years with no measurable result? One sin. Why am I saying that? 2 points I'll make. One, if after Adam sinned, no one had sinned, Christ would still have to die. I didn't say that clearly enough. Let me try again. If after Adam sinned, no other sins had been committed, Jesus Christ would still have to die for that one sin. Which means then, one sin in the eyes of God is one sin. Ah, yes, God bless you. And this side too, even though they gave me the answer. Yes, one sin, come on, say it again, is too many. Now, reason with me. If one sin is too many, what kind of life qualifies you and me for God's kingdom? Come on. One sin is too many, then what life must we live? A sinless life. But the Bible says, all have come short. Very short. And so I'm looking around, what can I do? What can I do? Then I see whom? Now, did Jesus sin once in the past? Is he sinning now? You think he'll ever sin? What kind of life is that? Perfect, sinless. That's the life that qualifies me for a place in God's kingdom. But I cannot give God that life because I have sinned at least, come on, once. I have to go get that life somewhere else. And it is found in Jesus. And so when giving your life to Christ is the same thing as accepting Christ. So when I accept Christ, I realize my hopeless condition. I cannot get away from the condemnation of sin. I'm a terrible person by behavior and by nature and by tendency and by mindset. I hold on to Jesus. As long as you're holding on to Jesus, death cannot touch you. Are you with me? Is that good news? Yes or no? As long as you're holding on to Jesus, death cannot touch you. And so the devil tries to do what? Separate us. How does he do that? He gives you two jobs. And he's right. The devil is, in quotation marks, a nice fellow. In quotation marks. He gives you two jobs. So you have no time for what? Mm-hmm. But what did Jesus say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. The devil says, fine, let me give you something nice. In the secular mindset, it's nice. Two jobs. Let me give you so much work at the university where you are the chair of a department. You have no time for that which keeps you connected to Christ, which is life. Let me keep you busy in the church with 9 offices. You're the head deacon and the head deaconess all at once. No time for the Bible. Distance from Christ. The crime is sin. The punishment, death. 10 sins, same punishment. Are you with me? 10,000 sins, come on, same punishment. 1 sin, same punishment. Same punishment. We need to do ourselves a favor. Let's discover what the favor is by going to Isaiah chapter 1 at 7:43 p.m. Isaiah 1, let's go there quickly. Isaiah is called the gospel prophet. He speaks so much about Jesus. And there's one chapter in Isaiah you should study, read, memorize. What chapter do you think that is? 53. Oh, yes. I can't think of a more powerful chapter other than John 17, the high priestly prayer of Christ. Isaiah 1, verse 15. You have Isaiah 1, reading from verse 15. Read with me. And when ye do what? Stretch forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Why? Your hands are full of blood. Now read 16 for me carefully. What does that say? Wash you. Come on. Make you clean. Go on. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Keep going. Cease to do evil. Now read the first statement in verse 17. Learn to do well. Stop. Stop. What does cease to do evil mean? Give me one word. Stop. Now stop has two sides. Either you stop, or God stops you. Don't let God stop you. God does not have a nice way to stop a sinner. I mean a determined sinner. A humble sinner, I'm sorry, yes. A determined sinner, God has not a nice way. Cease to do evil. Why? It's killing you. Whether you see it or not, there's something called fibromyalgia. It's a disease that has no what? Symptoms? Is that what the experts say? But you have it, but no symptoms, huh? Sinners like that sometimes. There are no symptoms. My life is fine. And Jesus sees you on the highway to death. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, says God. Out of love, stop it, says God. You were doing what led me to evict Adam and Eve. You were doing what is taking you down to hell. You are doing what hurts me, says God. Can I say something hard? Can you take it? You sure? All right. Go to Matthew 25.
Since it's hard, I may have to go beyond 8. You still want it? Maybe 8, 10, I'll try not to. Go to Matthew 25. It's a little hard, but you need to hear it. Do you have Matthew 25? Let's read from verse 31. Father in heaven, as I enter the downslope of this message, please, Father, grant me more of your spirit, simple language. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. From verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. The world is really divided into sheep and goats. Or obey and disobey. That's it. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, verse 34. If you have my version, read the words, come ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Finish that verse. From the foundation of the world. It all from before the foundation of the world. What is Jesus saying? My Father had something in mind for you before the world was made. And what was it? To be a part of His kingdom. That's how God thinks. Because I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. That's what He says to them on the right hand. But go to verse 41. You have it? Then shall He say also unto them on His left hand, read with me, depart from me, come on, ye cursed, into what? Everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now what's the hard thing? If you or I end up in hell, we are no different from the devil. Did you look at that verse microscopically? Compare 34 with 41. Verse 34 says what? Come. Do you see come? What does 41 say? Depart. It's come and depart. Sheep and goats. Lost and saved. Heaven and hell. Wheat and tares. Come. Depart. But after come, come ye blessed. Does God bless sin? Answer me quickly. No. Christ tells us His Father blesses the obedient. Come ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you, which means God was thinking about you and me. From the foundation of the world, God had good thoughts about you, not one evil thought. In 41, God is compelled, because He's a righteous God, to deal with sin. Depart from me, ye what? Cursed. Who blesses in verse 34? The Father. Who curses in 41? The Father. Into everlasting fire, prepared for whom? But will there be human beings in hell? Yes. Why? Because they chose to live like the devil. We go back to Isaiah 1. Cease to do evil. The end of verse 16. Verse 17, the first statement. Learn to do well. Which tells us immediately that there's a part God has to play, and there's a part you and I have to play. Put away the evil of your doing from before mine eyes. It is not Christ who confesses. You and I must confess. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. Let me throw in something big now. What is sin? Transgression of the law. Then, based on what we've said, how does God view His law? It's holy. As holy as God Himself. And the slightest transgression against God's law is a transgression. We need to understand sin is the transgression of the law, yes, but in a more real sense, it is a personal affront against God. And so Joseph said to Potiphar's wife, how can I do this great wickedness? Finish the verse for me. And sin against Potiphar. That's what he said. What did he say? Sin against God. What did David say after he confessed his adultery with Bathsheba? Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil. He does not say against thee and Uriah. Against thee. Understand with me, if any sin is a direct affront against a person, that person is God. And the very righteousness of God, the very holiness of God is codified in the Ten Commandments. It's written and it's lived. And so God, out of love for you and me, he says, put away the evil of your doings. Stop it, says God. Stop. Why? Because you're killing yourself. Tonight, let's make a decision to stop. No one has a guarantee on tomorrow. Not you, not I. From my estimation, the foundational principle of procrastination is the assumption I will be alive tomorrow. I have decided I'll be alive tomorrow, so I procrastinate. The teacher says, bring me the homework on Monday, and I decide I'll bring it on Wednesday, because I have decreed I'll be alive on Wednesday. Arrogance. Jesus told the man who was a doubtful, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. It can apply under any circumstance. Tonight, let's make a decision. Father, I want to put away the evil of my doing from before your eyes. I want to cease to do evil, Isaiah 1:16. I want to learn to do well, Isaiah 1:17. I want to avoid the crime. Not because I want to avoid a punishment, but out of love for God. That's the motive. Are you following me? We don't serve God because we're afraid of hell. We serve God because we love him. And why do we love him? Look at the cross of Calvary. He first loved, thank you. 1 John 4:19. Let me close the book as a visual symbol. I'm closing. Sin of any size, shape, and dimension leads to what? Death. And if there's one thing we hate, it is death. The Bible says in Hebrews 2, verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The fear of death is a form of bondage. Acceptance of Christ releases me from that fear of death. I am now living out of love for my Savior. And my love for him exceeds the fear of death. Tonight, you and I will identify what we're doing. We know it is wrong. It is offending God. And we will obey Isaiah 1:16. Cease to do evil. Tonight, we will obey Isaiah 1:16. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Tonight. Make a decision right here. Let's walk out of this building truly right with God, as far as we know. When you and I make an attempt to do what's right in God's sight, God makes up for the deficiencies. Faith and Works, page 50, paragraph 1. Heads bowed, eyes closed. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, identify that one thing you know is wrong. And we continue to do it. Tonight we're telling God, Father, I want to stop. I want to cease to do evil. I want to put away the evil of my doings from before your eyes. Identify that thing right now in your mind as God looks upon you with the sunshine of his love. He's longing and yearning for you and me to put away sin because God loves to save. Ezekiel 33, verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not willing that any should perish. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved. Identify that thing, or those things, and in the name of Jesus Christ, confess it to God and tell Him to remove it. I give you 30 seconds to do that, starting now. And I'm talking to those online as well. I'll ask you a question. Listen to this verse. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. Faithful means He is dependable. Just means it's the right thing to do because of Calvary. If we confess our sins, and you just did that, and I, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you believe that verse, yes or no? Stand with me. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When Satan brought temptation one, turned stones to bread, did Christ resist, yes or no? Did the devil leave and never come back? Did he come back with another temptation? Yes, he will come back. But when he comes back, you must behave like Christ. Each time he comes, what must be your response and mine? It is written. Now, James, the brother of Jesus, tells us in James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore unto God, total surrender. First, then he says, resist the devil and he shall flee from you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, whom resist steadfast in the faith, verse 9 of 1 Peter 5. James says resist. Peter tells us how, in the faith, in the word. Whatever it was you confess or I a few minutes ago, the power to keep it away is this. That's how Christ dealt with Satan. This is the antidote. The jab. Now you know what that jab means, this modern society, for sin. This. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Jesus told the disciples in John 15, verse 3, now ye are clean through the word. Isaiah 50, 677, paragraph 2, it is through the word Christ abides in his followers, paragraph 102. Head bowed, eyes closed. Father, fill our hearts with hatred for sin. The very first promise of the Bible, you spoke, you said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Put that enmity into us, dear God, for sin. Let us hate it. As you describe your Son, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. We want you to describe us that way. Please, God, if anything is your will, it is your will that we hate sin, even to the point of dying rather than sinning against you. Please, Father, I'm really appealing to you. Put that enmity in us, dear God. Help us to realize that the punishment for sin, which is death, does not display your sadistic side. You don't have that. It shows us how terrible sin is and that we ought to avoid sin of every size. In the name of Jesus, dear God, a name you never resist, give us that moment-by-moment victory. As your servant writes in Steps to Christ, page 48, paragraph 1, through the right exercise of the will, an entire change may be made in your life. By yielding up the will to Christ, You will ally yourself with the power that is above all principalities and powers. You will have strength from above to hold you steadfast, and thus, through constant surrender to God, you will be enabled to live the new life, even the life of faith. The confession, the surrender we made tonight, let's do it tomorrow and the day after, making no room for the enemy. Crime, sin, punishment, death. Your will for us is life. That life is Christ, a sinless life. Let us now again wrap our arms around Christ and say like Jacob, I will not let thee go. Take us home safely. Give us a love for righteousness, a love for spiritual decency. Bless us in this building. Bless us online, I pray. Bring us back tomorrow day, God, to hear more of your word. I offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.